This is the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast brought to you by Art Wiederman, CPA with Ide Bailey. Whether it's taxes and investing or planning wisely, Art is the expert to make your dental practice profitable. At Ide Bailey, what inspires you inspires us. We provide a suite of accounting and advisory services dedicated to the total care of your practice. Visit our website to access our tools and resources tailored for dentists, idebailey.com/dentist. That's idebailey.com/dentist. This podcast is distributed with the understanding that Art Wiederman, CPA, and Ide Bailey, LLP are not rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Listeners should consult with their business advisors before acting on any of the information or opinions shared. If you have questions and or feedback, make sure to email Art over at awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. You can also give Art a call at 657-279-3243. Without further delay, here's your host, Dental CPA Art Wiederman.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with me, Art Wiederman, CPA. Thank you for listening and welcome to my podcast. I am a dental division director at the CPA firm of Ide Bailey. I've been a dental CPA. Labor Day of 2024 was my 40th anniversary of being a dental CPA. And we are now approaching 6 years of this podcast journey. First week of December will be 6 years. And I mean, time flies when you're having fun. We have just did our 200th podcast a couple months ago. And one of the joys of doing this is I have made so many wonderful, wonderful friends in this business of financial and management consulting for dentists. And you are going to meet one of my dear friends today. I love bringing different perspectives on dentistry and what's going on today. Gene St. Louis is a nationally recognized expert in dental management consulting and dental practice management. We're going to talk about her perspective of what's going on today. She and her team are working in offices every day. They see what's going on. They are on the cutting edge. And you're going to love meeting Jean and hearing what she has to say. We'll get to Jean in a moment with all the challenges we have in dentistry. First, I want to tell you that we are going to be publishing this podcast sometime around late October, early November of 2024, which means that in the cycle of a CPA firm, we are at year-end planning. So we just finished October 15th's tax filing deadlines. Hopefully, you all got your tax returns done. Some of you might have gotten a surprise. We get more clients from people who call us and say, you know, Art, my accountant called me on April 13th or October 13th and said, you owe $75,000 and they didn't know about it. Or I'm not really meeting with my CPA at the end of the year. I don't know what's going on for this year, what's going on with the election, what's going on with tax law changes. Big deal. We're not going to talk about that today. If you are not getting the CPA service you need, we've got your back at Ide Bailey. Please give me a call at 657-279-3243 or email me at awiederman, that's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, at idebailey.com. I also want to thank my wonderful marketing partner, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine. And we've got some exciting stuff going on with them in the realm of dental marketing, which we're going to be talking to you about here in the coming weeks. They have a new program coming out to help doctors with that. They have 140 continuing education courses, clinical courses, second to none, the top clinicians in the country. Please go onto their website, www.decisionsindentistry.com. One thing I do want to remind you about is the BOI filings. If any of you who are regular listeners, you've heard me talking about this for the past several months. If you own any kind of an entity, an LLC, an S corporation that you have, I believe it's at least a 25% interest in, and the rules are very specific. The federal government has decided that they want to know a bunch of information about you. And you have to file these forms through what's called the FinCEN, F-I-N-C-E-N system that the IRS uses, which is similar to the one that they use if you have a foreign bank account. Folks, this is very serious stuff. If you formed an entity before 2024, you have until December 31st of 2024 to file this form. Be aware that most CPAs, including Ide Bailey, and most attorneys are not doing this for clients for many reasons. We don't do it because it's not a tax form. It's an informational return. So you want to go to the FinCEN website or look up BOI reporting. If you filed for a new entity in 2024, technically you have, I believe it's either 60 or 90 days to do this. So you need to jump on that. So be aware of that. And again, if you don't have anybody doing year-end tax planning, 657-279-3243 or awiederman@idebailey.com.
Be sure to check out our new Ide Bailey podcast, Ebb and Flow, a business podcast providing inspired insight on issues and trends the middle market faces. Hear unique business stories, get answers to frequently asked and unasked questions, and understand business topics that matter to you. Available now on your favorite podcast platform.
All right. I want to get to my good friend, Gene St. Louis. Gene is a nationally recognized expert in dental practice management. She built her company from the ground up. She holds both clinical and administrative. She held clinical and administrative positions prior to her consulting career. And I mean, she, like many of the folks out there who are at the top of the game, as Gene is, participated in day-to-day operations of dental practices. She's at the top of her game. I've talked dentistry with Jean, and she's helped many of our clients. She works on a national level. She speaks at national and state dental meetings. And she's actually really nice, which is one of the other reasons that I have her on here. Gene St. Louis, welcome to the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast.
Thank you, Art. It's wonderful to be here, and I appreciate you inviting me to take part of this, and it's great to see you.
Well, it's always good to see you, even if it's on a computer. I think I saw you at the CDA convention, and it's just always fun to see all my friends. Now, I understand, Gene, that you are an outdoors person. You're a camper and a biker and stuff. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm in my past, free time that I get, I like to camp. We have a small RV that we use. I'm from the days of camping in tents, and I'm just not going to camp in tents anymore. My body can't take it. But the RV is not, it's a modest RV, and we love to go tooling all around the country. And I love to bike while we are camping. We always try to get on some bike trails, and I love being in nature. I think getting out into nature and just regardless if it's the forest or the beach or the mountains, it fills my soul and it makes me really happy. And so I obviously don't camp as often as I'd like, but every chance I can, I take that opportunity and get out there and check out nature. I love it.
Well, living in Southern California is an amazing experience because we are, you're right by a city of 15 million people. You're 90 minutes from skiing. You're near the mountains. We have all of this stuff. Of course, Gene, my definition of camping is if there's no room service at the Marriott. So, I mean, that's just kind of my thing. But I was a Boy Scout leader for 3 years. God help those guys. I mean, but I did. I learned how to tie knots and set up tents and do all that stuff. But yeah, getting out to nature when we live in the city and we're doing the day-to-day grind of working, it is definitely a wonderful thing. I've taken several bicycling trips. I took one to the Puglia region of Italy about a year and a half ago. And once I figured out that going uphill on a regular bike was not fun, they got me an electric bike and it changed everything. And that, as we get a little older, isn't that cool having the electric bike?
I like that because, like you said, if you get tired of pedaling, you can just kick in that electric. And I also find that I would never be able to go as far as I can on an electric bike. If I'm, in Yellowstone, I can go, 15 miles into the woods on an electric bike where I don't think I'd have the stamina to do that if I were just pedaling the entire time. So yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
Well, it's a great invention. No, it is. Well, listen, let's get started. Tell us first about your professional journey. Give us a little bit of your history.
Yeah, for sure. My professional journey began right out of high school. I knew that I wanted to get into helping people and particularly got into dental assisting and went to school way back in the day when the school for dental assistants existed in abundance. And it was an 18-month course. And so it was really intense and I loved it. And I came out and did an externship in a periodontist office and also in a GP office and then did chairside assisting. Went from there, many years of chairside, worked in a pedo practice, an oral surgeon, an endo. I really wanted to try all the specialties to see which one I really liked. And then I decided that I wanted to try the front desk. And so I found that I just had a natural gift for the front desk. I loved working with patients. And because of my clinical knowledge, I could teach them what they needed to have done, explain the treatment, and lo and behold, they would accept. I didn't even know I was that good at it until the dentist I worked for said, "You're really good. People schedule when you talk to them about the treatment. This is awesome." So I then moved from front desk to office manager and then worked with a dentist who was doing a startup. I was born and raised south side of Chicago. Worked with a dentist who was doing a startup, and he decided he was going to sell his practice and do the startup in the Western. And I was his office manager in the practice that he was selling. And we moved to the Western Burbs and got that practice to just under 2 million in about 3 years. And actually decided, you know, I said to him, "I'm kind of out of things in my toolbox, John. I think we should hire a coach." And he said, "Well, look it up and see who you think." And we hired a locally based small boutique consulting firm out of Chicago. And when I was working with them, I said, "Do you have any like office manager support groups? Because I think like-minded people, getting them in a room would be so beneficial." And they said, "No, we don't. But boy, if you wanted to start that, that'd be great." And so I did. And the only rule we had was you couldn't talk about how much you make and you couldn't talk about who you worked for. Everything else was on the table. And so from a practice management standpoint, that really got me excited about teaching and learning more. And the principal of the firm, there were two of them. One of them got into sales and appraisals of practices back in 1992, 93. And they asked if I would take over her clients and become a consultant. And for me, that was a natural progression in my career. And I was excited. And my boss gave me my first briefcase and off I went consulting. And because of the clinical knowledge I had, I would go into a client on a monthly basis to do my consulting. And the client would say, "Oh, you know what? I lost my assistant. And I have this new assistant that told me she could take x-rays, but she can't. She's elongating. She's cone cutting." And I would say, "Well, let's not do our business meeting. I'll help and I'll train her how to do x-rays." Then I'd get to the next practice and they'd say, "I lost the person at the front desk. I haven't posted a check in weeks. I'm trying to find someone." I'd say, "Well, let me just do that and post all your insurance checks so you can get a deposit in the bank." And what I found was that there was a need in dentistry for training of staff. And so I wrote and copywrote two manuals, one on clinical education and one on administrative education. And then I went out and I recruited 10 instructors and I trained them on how to deliver all the clinical aspects and all the administrative aspects. And that was great. That helped my clients so much so that if they did have a need, I could offer that as a service, but I could still focus on the business side of the dentistry, which is what they hired me for. So then I, being a young entrepreneur, I had this burning, churning in my gut of, I really want to do my own thing. And I offered to buy that firm out twice and they declined. They were in their 60s and they didn't want to sell. And I decided to start my own firm. And I had signed a one-page document and did not have an attorney review it. Lesson learned. I started my own firm. And I was an independent contractor with that firm. So because I recruited those 10 instructors and I had three consultants working under me, I left and I got sued and my 98 clients came with me. So the first month in business, there was a TRO, a temporary restraining order. and I had to defend myself. And I come from very humble beginnings, and I started my business on $20,000. And I went to an attorney in Chicago and said, if you'll help me and defend me, I will pay you 50% of every client I close until I get you paid off. I don't know what your fee is, but I don't have money to pay.
Wow, that's a great story. I love that.
He took my case. Yeah, he took my case. So the rest is history. I started my firm. I was recruited about 7-8 years into it by Mercer Advisors.
Sure.
I sold to them. Be careful what you do. You know, I sold to kind of like a DSO in a dental practice world. And in 2018, I started my firm again. So here I am.
Where are you located right now? Where do you live?
I am based out of San Diego, but we are nationwide. So I have a consultant in Columbus and a consultant in Indiana as well.
A very important question. You're from Chicago. Cubs or White Sox?
Cubs.
Well, this year that's a good choice because the White Sox lost, 170,000 games or something. I don't know. But anyway, all right. Well, let's start the discussion. I know that we talked about you work on the business side. Talk about some of the things you do with your clients' offices to make them more profitable. Gene, and before you start, I always tell people that a dental do you like to be called a consultant or a coach or just Gene or what do you like?
You know, a consultant or a coach, I think the word consultant has a very bad stigma to it. And I'll tell you why. Many consultants are out there that really give consulting a bad rap. You know, they're not as professional. They don't know as much and they don't get the results. And so for that reason, you know, I don't care. Consultant, coach, right. I feel that your reputation should speak for itself. And if you're doing the right thing, it works out.
I'll go with Gene. We'll do that. So, but I think that a consultant or a coach needs to do two things. Number one, they need to make the practice more enjoyable, run more smoothly, and make the patient experience and everything go really smoothly. And the second thing, which we're going to start the conversation about, is making them more profitable. So talk about what you do in your work and how dentists can become more profitable. I know that dentists today, with the advent of PPOs and inflation, they can't raise their fees because 90% of their practices, they're contracted in PPOs and the PPOs are dropping their reimbursements. How do we make people more profitable these days in dentistry in 2024 coming to 2025?
Well, a couple of things. Let's address the first, and that is, you know, our philosophy as a consulting firm is that we believe that when you go into a practice, you should not be going in there with the mindset of everything needs to be changed to my system. You need to look at the system and see if it's sick. Does it need any help? First of all. Secondly, you have to ask, if I change this system, is it going to be in the best interest of the patient? First and foremost, if you're going to change something in a practice, it has to be, in my opinion, and our philosophy, in the best interest of the patient. Secondarily, is it going to make the practice more efficient if you change the system? But the first point of, is it in the best interest of the patient, trumps all. So you would never do something in a practice that is not in the best interest of the patient. Secondly, in regards to the PPO situation, many offices take PPOs, and I think there's so many points. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be lecturing in, I think it's in January in Texas, regarding PPOs and the downside and upside and all that. But one of the things that I see in practices is they don't. Now, there's certain insurances that absolutely will not negotiate fees, but there's a plethora of other PPOs that the dentist that is on them has, per their contract, typically 24 to 36 months, where they can renegotiate the fees. And that's important. And a lot of dentists don't believe in necessarily paying someone to do that. But getting a reputable company that can negotiate those fees is very, very important. Also, looking at your fees, I understand that your fee-for-service fee schedule, raising those fees when you take a lot of PPOs, doesn't matter. However, when you're going to renegotiate, you should make sure that your fees are in line and around the 80th percentile for your geographic zip code. So that's one thing.
And there are programs that Gene and I work with. One is called NC NCAS, I believe it's called, and there's others that give you the fee schedules by zip code for different percentiles. And we want you to be working on your business, not just, in your business and stuff. So, yeah. Gene, I know I have a lot of clients, treatment acceptance. I mean, I have some people, verbal skills. You talked about verbal skills. Verbal skills make or break a professional practice. I mean, I've said this many times. My clients have no idea how competent of a CPA I was when I was doing in the tax and accounting practice. And by the way, folks, for those of you who I've signed thousands of tax returns for, I was very, very good and still remember 99% of what it was. The 1% I forget, I just don't want to remember. But the fact is that treatment accepted. And the reason I bring that up is because people come to you not because your margins are excellent or your occlusion is good. They come to you because they like you and they trust you. So, Gene, talk about increasing treatment acceptance. I mean, that's the whole key. You could diagnose $1 billion of dentistry, but if nobody's going to sign on the dotted line, how do we do it while keeping dentistry affordable? How do we do this?
Great, great point. So first and foremost, I would urge any of the individuals that are watching this podcast to go to your software and generate a report that is an unscheduled treatment report. Now, keep in mind this, if you see a patient and you present to them two treatment options and you put it into the treatment plan and they choose treatment plan A instead of treatment plan B, and you do not decline or reject treatment plan B, when you pull that unscheduled report, it's going to remain on there. That's the first thing. Second thing is, let's say you diagnose 14 MO composite, but when the patient presents in the chair, it's actually an MOD. If you don't go back into the original treatment plan and change it to an MOD, and you just walk it out as an MOD, it's going to remain in the treatment plan as an MO still needed to be done. So sometimes those reports, not sometimes, many times those reports have garbage on them. They need to be cleaned up. That's the first thing. Second thing is, you touched on this, Art, and that is, it's so, so important to establish what we call the BLT, believable, likable, trustworthy. Patients don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Yep. And part of that is you being able to communicate what they need to have done. And then, believe it or not, I could have, if I had a dollar for every dentist that I've been in a workshop or a lecture and have asked the audience, raise your hand if you think your case acceptance rate is 80% or greater. Almost every dentist in the group does it. Then I say, don't look at your staff right now, but staff, how many would you agree with that? Or would you say it's 70% or lower? And the staff holds up their hand. Why? Because from the time the doctor presents it in the chair till the time it gets to the front, what I say is that chain gets broken. And what that means is the doctor may be establishing the believable, likable, trustworthy. They're presenting the treatment only to find out that when it gets to the desk, we're not really presenting it in the right manner. What do I mean by that? A patient is either standing up and the person at the desk is sitting down. Who's in control? The person standing up. We offer third-party financing, but we do it in our terms. In other words, we say, we offer care credit, but we only give 6 and 12 months. Okay, well, why? 24 to 60 months is a flat 5% to the dentist, and it makes it more affordable to the patient. So we say we don't judge the patients, but guess what? We're not making dentistry affordable. Practice after practice after practice, we go in. And there's other companies other than Care Credit. There's Cherry, there's Sunbit. Those companies will finance patients with really, 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 really low credit scores, FICO scores. So there's so many options. And you have to go through what I get frustrated with when we go into offices is I hear, someone from the front desk say, okay, Art, well, here's the pamphlet. You can go ahead and file for Care Credit. And they let them walk out the door. They are not sitting down and really going over a financial, this is how much your payment is. And Care Credit has a wonderful payment calculator right in their app.
Yes.
You click it, it literally in 2 seconds, you could have 3 different treatment plans that the doctor has proposed and 3 different ways to pay. And you can customize that treatment plan payment option. So I think that is one thing that I will say that I see often is a big, you know, break in the chain from the front to the back or the back to the front.
I mean, you've just thrown out so many different things. I want to jump on one of them, and it has to do with the front office's understanding of how the software works. I mean, I know you and I both know people who train on Dentrix and Eaglesoft. I mean, we live in this world, and everything I hear is that most of the people in the front office, if they're lucky, they know 5 to 10% of how the software works. So, talk about how important training. You talked earlier about this. Training your team on, I mean, you talked about, you know, knowing what goes in, not putting in the 2 treatment plans, because then your case acceptance is going to be incorrect.
Well, you can put in the 2 treatment plans. You just have to remember to either decline or reject the one that the patient doesn't choose so that it's not remaining in the computer.
Right.
And there's so many, you know, there's softwares out there now. Oryx software is a phenomenal software based off of Coy's Institute.
And I love Coy's.
That, yeah, it's an awesome. And the software has an AI component. Like if the dentist isn't really great at case presentation, they're more introverted and maybe feeling like they're selling dentistry instead of telling, there's an AI component that really helps with that case presentation. So there's so many tools out there now that are phenomenal in technology that allow offices to be the best that they can be.
I also think it's important, let's talk about this for a second, Gene, about the culture that you create. You said something 2 or 3 times in what we've been talking about, which is the best interest of the patient. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned on this podcast that my son is in dental banking. And when I dropped him off at the airport for his first training, as he's getting out of the car, I said, his name is Forrest. I said, Forrest, you need to remember this. Everything that you do from this day on in working with dentists and helping them to get financing must be in their best interest, whether you're going to get paid for it or not. I mean, how important is that statement?
Very important. Very important. And I think to that point, we sometimes we get stuck in a dental practice in the insurance mindset. In other words, well, the insurance only covers 1,000. That's all we can do. That's all we can present. I don't know about you, but if I went to a medical doctor and they chose not to present something to me because of my insurance, I would be upset. I would want to know what are my options, right? And so in a dental practice with a dental patient, it's the same thing. We have to present everything that they need. We can't just pick and choose and cherry pick because we're afraid of the dental insurance. And making dentistry affordable is a big thing. You will be surprised when you pull that report, the unscheduled treatment report. You can pull it by 6 months. You can pull it on any date range. I would encourage you to do a year and then 6 months. Even if you don't believe me, go back and pull it for 30 days. You will be surprised how much is on there. It's not uncommon to see 1 million, 2 million in treatment that was presented that's not scheduled.
Oh, and that's why the morning huddle is so important. And that's why having tools like Dentometrics, Dental Intel, Sika, those tools are so important because the front office needs to know, is there an opening at 10 o'clock on Thursday for that crown? And the front office needs to know that Mrs. Smith has $3,000 of dentistry that we've been talking about for 2 years. And now that crack is getting bigger and doctor needs to know and the team needs to know and everybody needs to affirm all of this. I mean, it's not just go in and be a dentist anymore, right, Gene?
No, you're absolutely right. You have to take an interest in, you know, if I'm the hygienist, I need to do a thorough chart audit to see when was the patient. Obviously, most hygienists are very good with this. Most assistants are very good at this. But if they're not doing it, you should do it. You should be looking. When was the last time they had x-rays? Are they due for x-rays? Did we perio chart? Did they have any unscheduled treatment that doctor presented that they didn't do from their last visit? the doctor needs to know that at the morning meeting so that we can present to the patient. We can take an intraoral camera. We can take, you know, pictures. So those are just little bits that would help in some ways. I've never gone into one practice that has a solid unscheduled treatment system. In other words, they just wing it. The doctor is mad. His or her schedule is open. They go to the front and they say, you need to fill my schedule. Pull that unscheduled treatment report. And they pull it and it's 50 pages and they print it and it's single line and there's 25 per page and they start calling. Or they send an email blast through their email service or a text. While I love patient communication systems, they've been revolutionary in changing the field of dentistry, how we communicate to our patients. I will tell you, there are so many offices that just rely on, well, I texted them. They didn't call back. They didn't text back. I emailed them. They didn't text back. Sometimes you got to pick up the phone.
Yep.
I'm not saying you have to always pick up the phone, but if we're doing the same thing over and over and not getting the results, what does that say? Definition of insanity.
Of insanity. All right. So you talked about the system for uncompleted treatment plan. I know that you go into lots of offices and lots of new clients that you have. What are some other systems that you're seeing problems with in the office that need fixing? Now, this podcast is only an hour, so be careful what you do here.
Yes. I would say that past due recall. So again, we print a past due recall report. We want the hygienist to work on it when she has downtime. Bad strategy. Would you ever have a dentist work when he or she has downtime on the unscheduled treatment report? A producer is supposed to produce. So that's one thing. The other piece of that recall is that sometimes we haven't changed anything in the hygiene department, meaning this. There is a great system out there called the EMS system, the guided biofilm therapy. Look it up. It is phenomenal. We can start educating our patients on the biofilm in their mouth that is existing in everyone's mouth. And we can change the treatment that we're doing using the biofilm, guided biofilm therapy, EMS system, to have the experience of that cleaning be so much different to the patient. In addition, linked with that, and that is a system that in many cases, the hygienist doesn't even need to pick up a Cavitron, almost never, if ever, rarely picks up hand instrumentation. It is a phenomenal system. Also whitens the teeth, not to the point of like a whitening system, but in conjunction with that, I have offices that are doing sensational smile, S-I-N, sensational smile. And that is a 20-minute whitening. The patients are coming in for the cleaning. Talk about changing the PPO world. Having a patient come in for a hygiene visit on an EMS system, laterally moving them into another room for a 20-minute whitening where they go up a shade to three shades. I'm telling you, you have just turned that PPO patient into a fee-for-service patient. And the fee for the whitening is not $500 like Zoom or some of the other whitenings out there. And you don't have to isolate the gums. You're not getting gingival irritation. It is somewhere between $100 to $150. I mentioned this at the CDA. I was lecturing at the CDA for their annual session and just happened to mention it to the audience as a way, because a lot of the doctors in the audience had a lot of energy about accepting PPOs and not making money and how can I survive and how does this all work? And I actually had Sensational Smiles call me and say, you know, we don't know you, we know of you, but we're getting so many people that are calling us about getting our machine. It's like roughly, don't quote me, but like $2,400, $2,700 for the machine. Comes with, if you mention that, you can just mention my name, I don't get any money from them. No money is exchanged, but they give anyone that comes from me 36 applications. It's a no-brainer. It's a game changer. It is a game changer in the office. So that's something that could be done, not necessarily in the hygienist chair, but 20 minutes. People will whiten their teeth for a wedding, for a reunion, for a vacation, for retirement. You name it, people will whiten their teeth, especially when you make it affordable at $100 to $150.
And then they go back and they tell their friends, well, what did you do today? Oh my God, I went to my dentist and he used this sensational smile system on me. And in 20 minutes, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. And and that's marketing for you. Oh my God. There's just, and there's so much. I mean, I talk about the difference in technology from when I started, maybe when you started in dentistry in the, for me, it was in the mid 1980s, and it's just so different. There's so much stuff. We didn't have AI and all this. So take a minute, Gene. I wanted to talk a little bit, and I got a lot more I want to talk to you about what you do, what you're about your company and how people can potentially work with you. Cause guys, I did not know about sensational smiles. I mean, I learned stuff after 40 years from these wonderful people in this industry that I get to work with, from my friends that I just, because I'm not a dental consultant in an office every single day. So talk a little bit about what you do and how you do it and how folks can get a hold of you.
I really, I believe in beginning a conversation with a dentist to find out what is their vision. What is their vision? What is their goal for their business? Either A, they might be an associate that they want to buy a practice or do a startup practice, or they're an established practice that wants to maybe grow the practice or increase the morale and the motivation of the team. So the first thing I do is want to have a conversation to go over what is your vision, what makes you pick up the phone to call me. And then from there, I offer to do a complimentary baseline analysis to see, how are their systems? Are they sick? Are they healthy? And it's based on industry standard. As an example, if your accounts receivable over 90 days is more than 10%, that's a reason to be concerned, as one example. So then from there, really to customize what that client might need. Not every client is painted the same brush. You can't do the same treatment on every single client, just like you can't with every single patient.
Right.
If every single patient came in, you diagnosed a crown, well, that's not really the way to do it, right? That's not in the patient's best interest. So for us, what's in the client's best interest? It's not about how does Gene St. Louis Consulting sell another consulting client. It's about what does that client need and customizing the program to them. We have, you know, 6-month program, a 12-month program, training programs. We work with startup dentists that are doing a startup from the inception before, when they're thinking of it, to help them find a forest like your son, you know, someone in banking, all the way through finding the healthcare realtor, the attorney, the accountant, all the way through till they open. And we're with them for 1 year after they open. In addition, we do due diligence. So we only represent the buyer in a sale. So the broker may represent the seller. We only represent the buyer. And we do the due diligence. What does that mean? We look at, you know, 3 years of tax returns, 3 years of profit and loss, 3 years of data out of their database, their computer software. We look at what revenue opportunity is existing in the practice and how much they're staffed, how are they adequately staffed, what procedures are being done by the seller that maybe the buyer can do or not do. It's a very comprehensive due diligence. And then at that point, if the doctor chooses to go and have help during the acquisition, we can do that as well. So that's a little bit about what we do.
And Gene, what is the best way for folks to get a hold of you? Phone number, email, website?
Yep. My phone number is 866-200-3217. My website is www.gene, St. Louis, STLOUIS, consulting.com. And my email is gene@glikegeorge.com/LLarryConsulting.com.
Very good. We got that. That'll be in the show notes and stuff. And folks, especially, again, I'm a dental practice broker. I represent sellers. But in my letter of intent, I tell, and in the listing agreement, well, in the letter of intent, I say to the buyers, listen, you know, I don't want you to just rubber stamp this. You need to hire someone like Gene St. Louis, to go in. You're spending $500,000, $1 million, $2 million to buy a practice. This is the biggest, I mean, we're in Southern California. Maybe it's not the biggest purchase they're going to make, but it's the most important, in my opinion. You've got to have somebody. And if you have a broker who says to you, no, we don't have time for you to have a consultant come in. You don't need it. It's a really good practice. Don't walk, run, please. You must do your due diligence. I don't care how small of a practice it is. I don't care what anybody says to you. You need accounting due diligence. That's what we do at Eide Bailly. You need management consulting due diligence. Gene and their team are doing this in practices all over the place. So, all right, let's get back to some more stuff. As you and I talked before, we turned the record button on. You know, one of the biggest challenges we have today are the reimbursements that are not getting higher, they're getting lower from insurance companies. How do you take these challenges that these doctors have and turn them into opportunities?
I think that part of getting that opportunity in place is first and foremost, making sure that your systems are in place. So I'll have doctors call me and they'll say, you know what, I just need more new patients. And I say, okay, well, then that may be, you know, you may need more new patients. But what are we doing to retain our patients? If the back door of the practice is open and we have people literally leaving or they're past due with their recall, at some point, your practice is going to start declining. If you are not seeing growth, steady growth between 15 to 20% year over year without any fee increases, you can basically assume that your practice is going downhill. If it's flat, it's going to go downhill if it's not growing. So I think from my perspective, one of the big areas is looking at the hygiene department, because that is another vehicle that the dentist can use. Now, you could sit here and say, well, yeah, but I'm only giving X amount from the insurance companies on the PPO for the prophy. I can't raise that. It's never going to go up. You would be surprised how many dentists do not renegotiate their PPO fees. There are plenty out there that will negotiate the fees. And so I think that is one area that the doctors, they don't take that serious. They don't, you know, look to a professional that can do that. The other thing is, I would like to extend anyone that would like a complimentary fee analysis per their zip code, happily do that for you at no charge, because of Art's program and how loyal and dedicated he is to the dental community.
Let's see, today is Thursday. Yeah, today is my loyal and dedicated day. That's right. Okay, yeah, that's good. So, yeah. So Gene, I ran a CPA practice for 33 years. I've read all the leadership books, Good to Great, and, The 7 Habits of Successful Leaders. And I know you're big into leadership training, and it's not only leadership of the doctor, but it's also the team leader. Talk about how important, and again, guys, those of you who listen to my podcast on a regular basis, we talk about this ad infinitum until you want to throw up. But you know what? Leadership in a business is so important. Gene, talk about how you work with your clients on leadership.
We, when we have a client that is buying a practice and doing an acquisition program or a startup, automatically they get the leadership program. And that is a CEO program, 8-hour Zoom meeting, where we go over all the importance of how to hire, how to fire, how to do performance reviews, understanding interview questions, understanding gross versus net, understanding insurance and billing and all of that. That is part of that leadership program. But the very first chapter, we talk about leaders and leadership and how do you become a leader and what are the skill sets that you need to become a leader. And so that is a very, very important part. When we work with a client and they're not one of those, a startup or an acquisition, we are with them usually for a year and we help them in how to manage and how to lead their team properly. Because many doctors are not good leaders. And they just kind of throw up their hands and they're like, well, I'm not really good at it. Well, guess what? You have to learn some skill set, just like you did when you decided to go to dental school. You didn't go to dental school and say, I'm going to be a phenomenal dentist. You took some continuing ed after school. You did other things after you became a dentist to hone your skills. Same thing with leadership. You've got to hone your skills.
You absolutely do. And doctors, a lot of this of being a leader, you know, you don't have to be know every single leadership tool. What you need to do is you need to say to your team, guys, this is my vision. This is what I want my practice to be. This is how we're going to treat patients. This is how we're going to treat. This is my treatment philosophy. My treatment philosophy is not that every single procedure is a crown. My procedure is we do what's in the best interest of the patient. And this is how we talk to people. And then once you tell your team what your vision is, that's leadership. I mean, you know, you don't have to micromanage every single little part of the practice. But if your team knows, well, you know, doctor would never, because what happens, Gene? Patient gets in the chair, doctor makes a diagnosis of $15,000, and then the doctor leaves and the patient's talking to the hygienist and the assistant and goes, is this real? Is this, I mean, do I really need this? And if that team doesn't have the faith in the doctor to say, you know what, Mrs. Smith, we have 150% total trust in what Dr. St. Louis has just presented to you. And if he says you need that, we truly believe that that's in your best interest. And if your team, if you've not created it right, am I on,
yes,
on track?
You're spot on. You're spot on. You have to believe in who you work for. And you know what? I often will say, if you don't, and it, you know, maybe it's just not the best dental home for you. Do yourself a favor and move on. You deserve to be happy. Life is way too short. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be in a career that you love. You deserve to work for someone that you admire, that you respect, that you trust, that you believe in, that you like. All of those aspects are so important. And if you're the dentist and you have someone on your team that you're not believing in them, do yourself a favor and find someone else.
Right.
Cut the cord. The biggest mistake I see offices make is they sometimes keep the same staff member that has a poor attitude, not performing, and the rest of the team is carrying them. And what's the message to the rest of the team? You know what? You don't respect us enough, and you're letting her or him get away with X, Y, and Z over and over and over and over and over. You never correct it. And it says something about your leadership.
Many times in my CPA practice, I mean, I would know what was going on in my practice because I kept a pretty good, you know, thumb on everything.
Sure.
But I would have my leadership team, which were three people, literally, and this would happen occasionally, walk into my office, shut the door, which I knew I was in trouble when they did that. And they would say, you know, Art, we need to talk about Susie. And I said, yeah, you're right. And thank you for the impetus of this. And then I would make the decision. I got more I want to talk about before we need to call it a podcast. Goal setting. How important is that? How do you help clients set goals in their practices?
I believe that goals should be set on two criteria. First and foremost, what is the overhead in the practice? Is the doctor maximizing their retirement? And are they taking home what they need to take home? So the goal has to start with what is it? What is your BAM? What is your bare
What
is your bare ass minimum to keep the doors open? That's the first thing. And does that include taking what you need to take home and ideally maximizing your retirement? If you're in a practice where there's just not enough money to maximize the retirement and take home what they need to take home, we need to go back and say, okay, what is the historical data? What have we done historically in this practice? And how are we going to grow the practice? And you set realistic goals that are achievable. And you institute systems that allow the staff to be held accountable. If you just kind of say, hey, guys, we need to really work on that accounts receivable. We really need to work on the unscheduled treatment or the recall. And there's no system for accountability, you're going to get what you've always gotten.
So we're back to systems again, right? I mean, that's absolutely really what it comes down to. Gene, talk about the new patient experience. That is the first, you know, the first thing that a patient sees is the first time they come in. We come back to this again. You know, the Johnson & Johnson commercial, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. So talk about why the new patient experience is so important.
This is probably one of my favorite systems. I love the new patient wow experience. And we love it because I love it because I feel that it gives us an opportunity to begin a relationship with a patient that's going to be with us for minimum 20 years, 40 years, 30 years, multi-generational. How many of the viewers here have bought a practice from a dentist or started the practice X amount of time, and that practice was somebody else's practice? And so that is called multi-generational. It's like, boom, boom, you have it. Yep. That legacy continues on. You know, you can. So to me, if we look at a patient that this patient is going to be with the practice for 20 years, that patient is worth a lot of money to that practice. And the biggest mistake I see, it starts on the phone. Patient calls up and the first thing we say on the phone is, okay, what insurance do you have? Oh, no, we don't take that.
Oh, my God. I just wanted, like, my head is exploding now. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I think that it's really, really important with languaging skills from the time we get the phone call. You know, a lot of times offices will, they'll right away, they type in the computer, your name, your name, and all the receiver can hear is what you just heard. Click, 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 click. We like to be able to really build the relationship with the patient. Now, is this difficult when you only have one person at the desk? Yes. But if we have a colored intake form that anyone that walks to the desk, it's bright pink, it's bright green, it's bright yellow, you can look and say, ah, she's on the phone with a new patient. We have to set the stage right from the minute they call in, because guess what? There are many, many, many dentists on the way from their home to your office that they can go to. And if we don't create a wow new patient experience, starting with the phone call, shame on us. The other thing that plays into that new patient wow experience is the technology. Dentistry is amazing. We have the best, greatest technology, and we continue to get great technology. The EMS, biofilm, you know, guided therapy, that's a great piece of technology. Hygiene for 40 years hasn't come out with the piece of technology like they have with that. So there's just so much that we can make that experience such a wow experience. And having that practice look clean, look organized, be friendly, you know, is a big part of it.
So some of the things I've learned, and again, I'm not a dental consultant coach like you are, but a couple people said when you answer the phone, hi, this is Art Wiederman, I can help you, instead of can I help you? Sure. And then the first thing that I like to say when I get a new client in the CPA practice is, Dr. St. Louis, you've called the right dental office. I mean, things like that, where, right, you know, they're confident, they know what they're doing. People know when they call a business and they want to use their services, whether, you know, they know what they're doing or they don't. People have a pretty good monitor about that. So that's important.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. Agreed. Talk about, and again, a couple more things, and then we've got to call it a day here, is
no problem.
What tips do you have for building a world-class dental team? And you have 3 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. Just how long you need.
I think you have to respect your team. You have to treat them with respect. I have a practice that I loved it. I came into his practice and he said, come here, I want to show you something. And he opens the freezer and the fridge in the kitchen, the staff lounge. And I see all these blue dots on a bunch of frozen food and a bunch of fresh food in the kitchen, in the refrigerator. And I said, what's that? And he said, every week I go out shopping and I buy the staff food and I put a blue dot. If it has a blue dot on it, anybody can eat it. And I thought that was one little bit that he could do to show them he respects them. Why? Because sometimes you get an emergency and you don't get out to lunch, or you don't get out on time, or you know, you don't have money to get lunch. And those are just little things. And the other piece that I think is really important is, even though the doctor is going to ask your opinion as staff, understand that they're not always going to accept everything that you say in your opinion. But the fact that they ask your opinion matters. The fact
That's huge.
Treat you, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm just going to say it, it's probably not politically correct, but sometimes there's a certain time of the month that people go through different changes. And maybe that one person that's going through that loves Snicker bars, and she's just having a bad day. Have a drawer in your office, doctor, that you have little special things that you can leave by the sterilizer for the front desk or for the assistant, or you can leave something by the front desk anonymously. Here you go. Make special things for them. Do special things. And I would say to the staff, if you're watching this, same goes back to the doctor. When you see that they've done an anterior case and that patient walks out and those composite fillings or those veneers or those crowns look awesome, or you haven't even seen how they look because you didn't say to the patient, oh, I know you were getting those crowns today. Let's see how they look. Get excited. Look at them. Comment on them. That's a way to really help that doctor also. So it goes both ways.
Yeah. One of the things I like to do, and I did this in my CPA practice, is if I'm having a meeting and I have one of my team accountants in the meeting, I will say, hey, I don't know if you met Raquel before. I'm going to tell you, Raquel's the best accountant I've hired in 40 years. You say that to somebody. You're talking to a patient and you're saying goodbye. And I always like to say, how did everything go today? Great time to ask for a referral, right? How did everything go today? Oh my God, I love Jean, your hygienist. And Jean is standing there and say, well, you know what? I'll tell you what, I never get tired of hearing that. And I hear that many times a day. I mean, I could not be more fortunate to have Jean as our hygienist in this practice, Mrs. Right, Smith. Right. And then Jean is sitting there and she hears this and she knows she's appreciated. So that's a big deal. I mean, it really is.
It is a big deal. One more thing.
Yeah. Please.
The other thing that you can do is many times our checks are going electronically into their accounts, or on the off chance that you're still giving paper checks. But even though it's payday and they're getting it electronically, at the end of that day, say to them, Art, I really appreciate you. You know, what is that? Every 2 weeks, you're going to just say one good thing about a person. That's just humanness, right? That's just being kind. That's just being kind. Like if we could all, and I don't want you to think, you know, oh, well, she's from California. You know, of course she's talking that way. But really, I believe this. If we can treat people with kindness, that would go such a far way in the world. And being kind to someone and saying something genuine, we can always find one thing about someone that we know that is genuine and sincere.
And doctors, I want to remind you, you make a very good income, especially if I know you do, if you're working with Jean and her team, because they've helped you with your profitability and everything. But you make a very good income. And your team members, many of them, are struggling. They're living paycheck to paycheck. Even though you've given them raises because of inflation and everything. I mean, here in California, gas is $5 a gallon. It's not the I always love the national average. It's $3.26. Yeah, maybe on Mercury or Mars, but not here in California, right? And everything costs. You go to a restaurant, you can't go out to dinner for two people anymore for less than $75 or $100 to a place, right? And so everything is expensive. And you as a doctor, you know, you're grossing $1 million, $1.5 million. You're making $300,000-$500,000 a year. You don't have to worry about that, but your team does. So to appreciate them and to give them a place that they like to work and make sure they're compensated fairly is important. Last thing I want to touch on, and by the way, you're awesome, by the way.
Oh, so thank you. You too.
Yeah, see if you're part of the team, right? So there you go. I said you were awesome. Some of the biggest mistakes you see practices make that hold them back, and then we'll put a bow on this.
I would say probably attitude.
Yeah.
Attitude of the staff, attitude of the doctor, accepting that there's somebody on your team that is not carrying their weight and allowing it to keep going on and not making a change for fear of, well, my friends, social media said the groups I'm in, it's hard to find a staff member. There's no way you can find someone better.
That's not true.
I would urge you to just realize that, is this person serving you and the practice in the best interest of the patient? If the answer is no, I'm not saying you should just go ahead and fire them right away, but build a case. At least begin to explore what you could do that's different.
Yep. Jean St. Louis, you are flipping awesome as far as I'm concerned. A lot of good stuff on how to make practices profitable. And doctors, again, my podcast is nothing more than a call to action. If you are in practice, if you are struggling, if you wake up every day with trepidation about, oh my God, what's going to go wrong when I go in today? you need to make some changes, or you need to get some advice, or even if you think things are going well, doctor, you can always make them go better, because a happy practice and a happy doctor and a happy team is a happy life. And I'll tell you what, there are not very many professions where you can work 3 or 4 days a week and make several hundred thousand dollars a year and go out and do fun things. I mean, I've given my opinion about PPO plans. Every single doctor, without exception, that I have talked to who have changed their relationship with insurance are happier and more profitable for doing so. And we've talked about that. So one more time, Gene, give out your contact information, please. And if you'll hang with me till I take the podcast out, I would appreciate it.
Absolutely. My name is Gene at GSTLconsulting.com. My number, office number, 866-200-3217.
Okay, fantastic. Gene, hang with me. Thank you so much for your wonderful, wonderful insight into the dental profession. I wish I could like do this maybe not 24 hours a day. There is football and basketball and baseball to watch. But anyway, and again, folks, if you are not getting good CPA services, and I say this in all honesty, if you have a CPA, especially one of our members of the Academy of Dental CPAs, if you have a CPA that is really taking good care of you, you need to stay with that CPA, okay? Mm-hmm. Just like if you know, your patients have a dentist who's taking good care of them, hopefully that's you. If you are not getting what you need, if you're getting surprises from your CPA, if someone can't explain the difference between medial and distal to you, if someone doesn't understand what your CPA doesn't understand, what does it mean if your uncompleted treatment plan report is $2 million. What does it mean if only 5% of your patients' hygiene production is in the 4,000 codes? If you don't have a CPA who understands that, please give me a call, 657-279-3243, A. Wiederman, W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N. At idebailey.com. We are going to have some real cool stuff coming out in 2025, some business and dentistry stuff. I'm speaking at CDA again. I'm very excited. It's not till 2026 I got invited to speak at the Chicago Midwinter Dental Meeting. So all kinds of fun stuff. I love going out there and having fun and seeing my peeps, if you will. Make sure that you look at that BOI for filing those forms. And again, if you need some year-end planning help, give us a call. Gene, thank you so much for your time and your expertise. Really appreciate it. And with that, folks, that will be it for this episode of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. And thank you for listening. Please tell your friends. Please download from your podcast app so you get every single podcast as it comes out. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. The Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast is produced by Ide Bailey in partnership with Art Wiederman, CPA, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, and the Academy of Dental CPAs. For audience questions and feedback, email Art Wiederman, awiederman@idebailey.com. That's AWIEDERMAN at EIDEBALLY.com. Or you may call Art at 657-279-3243.